It's time for Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.
Hi-Fi Dream, welcome to the Deep Dive. My name is Greg with my good friend and my partner Willis.
Hey Greg, good to be back for show 103.
I am amazed sometimes when I look at the list you send each week and I'm like, oh, we really are into triple digits. It feels like we've been doing this forever, but it also feels still fresh and new at the same time. So we've made it a pretty good run here so far.
Yeah, and it's actually confusing my smart speakers because I use the all the time around the house like to preview the show. So I'll say, you know, Alexa, play Deep Dive 103. And because there's so many syllables there, she's mishearing it. So I'm getting like show 53, 23, 73. Like, no. But then it's like she starts playing the song and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. So it's kind of cool.
I know you wanted to hijack the show early today.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah. I wanted to announce something that I alluded to on a previous show. And I've said before that my wife, Alicia, is really into Broadway musicals.
Yes.
And she's always singing around the house, in the shower, in the car, at dinner time. And we're always looking at her like, okay, honey, keep going, you know, that's fine. And, you know, it's always been like this fantasy of hers that she would be on some stage somewhere. You know, but she doesn't actually know how to sing. She hasn't been trained. She doesn't join any kind of community theater as much as we suggest her to. But you know, she's like, no, I could never do that. Well, it turns out this weekend she is going to be rehearsing for a musical. And
no way.
And I mentioned it. It's this special musical it's not here. It's in London. So it's called Lifeline the Musical, and it was premiered at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, like 10 years ago. And it ran twice. It was so popular, sold out. And they actually took it to off-Broadway a few years after that, and then another run in Atlanta. So it's been around, but this is going to be the London production, and it's about microbiology, which is like, that's her profession.
Her field.
Yeah, and so it's this very special production where they're inviting scientists and healthcare professionals, like healthcare workers, who support like antibiotic administration and the resistance of antibiotics, which also kind of, that's the story. It's like a theme of this show, and it's actually about Alexander Fleming, the guy who invented penicillin. Mm-hmm. But there's more to it.
That man is a murderer, by the way, because I'm allergic to penicillin.
Oh, really?
That man came out. He came out of the gate trying to murder Greg.
Oh man, I'm okay. Well,
it's okay. No. This is amazing news, by the way.
So it's like an open casting call for to be in the chorus, if you are a scientist or a healthcare worker. And when she heard about this, she's like, I'm all in. I have to do this. This is like a dream come true.
It was
true.
It was hand wrapped by God and delivered to her.
Exactly.
As her opportunity to combine her worlds and do what she's always wanted to do.
Yeah. And it's actually even through her work that she found out about it, sort of, because she's directly working on a project about antibiotic resistance, which is, it's insane. So
for people who are listening that are not smart like myself or not like intelligent to that level, you're probably like, these words are so big.
Oh,
it must be amazing.
Yeah.
But
so,
this is incredible, by the way. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's the challenge, right? So the challenge is that you can take antibiotics to fight an infection. But at some point, if you do that too much, the bugs will mutate and they will develop a resistance to those antibiotics.
Right.
And so in the world, there are only so many antibiotics that we have developed as a world that are available. And so there's a first line, second line, third line. And those third lines are like the last ditch effort that you have if you get some super bug, and there might not be an antibiotic that can save you. So that's the danger in overuse of antibiotics. And so the project she's working on is like, maybe you can test to see what you have before you take the antibiotic, right? Because that may or may not even help you. And now you've put it into your body and into the world and given that bug another chance to develop a resistance towards it. So it's okay, basically...
It sounds like a great play.
It's crazy. And so they take these guest choruses. And so she auditioned over the internet, actually. They let her because it's in London, these auditions. But they let her audition online or on a Zoom. And she had to pick a song and sing it and read a few lines. And they accepted her. And now she's like completely over the moon. Like, and we're just
I can't even imagine.
Right.
This is like, well, I've always been such a big supporter, proponent of just no matter where you are, what you're doing in life, you need to keep doing things you like, make you feel like fulfilled and creative and perform whatever it is. Whether you want to be a singer, go sing karaoke. It is important to do it. I think just for our own, fulfillment in life, right?
Yeah.
To make us feel like we're doing what we love. This is so great for her. I mean, we've talked about her love for Broadway and musicals right. on this show since we started. Like throughout the shows, like you'll hear us make little references. Maybe some people would have no idea what we're referencing. But even songs that I'll be like, I could see why she liked this, Alicia liked this song
right.
because it sounds like a musical. Or, you know, talking about different songs and styles and whatever. So this is like a huge, this is like you doing a radio show talking about music and being able to flex this part of your life. She's now going to be doing that with
it's
her.
It's kind of weird that way. Yeah, exactly. So I thought I'd
so happy
it
for
on
her.
The show.
So and she will essentially have to go to London for the performance?
Yes. So she's going to have to go. She's going to just go in briefly for this weekend. But then there will be another set of rehearsals later in the month. And then right after that, she's going to be performing for a week there. And then they're going to rotate a different chorus the week after that. So she's
okay.
going to be there for a good block of time in London.
Unbelievable. What a big way to start the show off.
So exciting, yeah.
With big news for Alicia. So,
yeah, we're
congrats.
Very proud of her.
Yeah, I am so psyched for her. This is going to be – you're going to see your wife with the biggest, like, smile when she gets on stage to do these performances. Like – that is going to be her at her purest right there. Like the day you met her, you know, I think there'll be that feeling, that glow in her. Very
yeah.
excited for her.
Yeah. And it's so it speaks to the, when you find music that moves your soul and you just keep following that, pulling on that thread. You know, it's not just entertainment. It's not just something to pass the time. It's something in your soul. And
yeah.
when it's so it's got to be so validating, right? Like, how many people actually listen to Broadway music? Well, for her, this is like the thing, and she
yep.
got it. So, I mean, I feel really fortunate to do this show with you because this is music that has been a part of my soul for as long as I can remember. I just didn't get to manifest it, you know, outside of my own brain. And so 103 shows in now, I feel like I'm sharing my soul with the world, or at least our listeners, if nothing else with you, which is like awesome because of the knowledge that you have. It's like we are on the same plane, even though I know that your grasp of music is way beyond genres that I even comprehend. And that is really evident by this show as well, the choices you made.
Yeah, well, you too. I mean, I've said since probably the last 10 or 15 shows, I keep mentioning how you're bringing things that I don't even know about. That's not reaching me somehow. And tonight there are, I think, three of the five songs you chose are new to me, even though one of the artists I had heard before, you brought before, I believe. And I thirst. I have a hunger for discovering new things that move me musically. And sometimes I gripe about not getting enough of that lately. And like that I feel like nothing is inventive anymore and it's very hard to find things that are fresh. So this show kind of goes into the deeper reaches of music. We aren't playing the most obvious songs, but there are sometimes you will hear a song that you would say that is a pretty obvious song and you're playing it, but that's because it has a purpose and it's supposed to be here. Some songs I will say as I listen to music, like it doesn't get recognized for being as good as it is, even though it's a very popular song. Like, in other words, it's a brilliant piece of music or a brilliant composition, but people take it for granted because it was a big hit. And I would say the first track you chose kind of falls into that category. This is sophisticated, atmospheric pop, whereas most people just think of it as a song they used to hear on the elevator or in a supermarket or driving in their parents' car that was like soft rock. You set this up for us.
It's so true. Exactly. What you said is exactly what my memory of this song is from Alan Parsons' project called Eye in the Sky, 1982.
And most people know this song.
Most people know it. And I had this album, but I never really cherished it because I always felt like, yeah, it's just soft rock, yacht rock. Until this past week, I saw, I guess, a video clip of an influencer playing guitar along with this song, kind of walking us through the structure of the song, or not the structure, the key changes and shifts that this song has on the guitar, which is kind of mind-blowing, actually, when he breaks it down. Like, oh, he goes to a minor B or a fifth here. And, like, if you don't know the music theory, it's kind of all over your head. But when he plays it and sings along with it, you can hear this is very sophisticated writing and beautiful. And so that really sparked me, like, I need to listen to this song again. And when I did that, it just changed the way I thought about it. Structurally, it is a very pop-like, structured song, pretty standard, but just the way it's executed and the lyrics have this mysterious, like, semi referencing the eye in the sky that you would see in the casinos of Las Vegas, which one of the members was kind of interested in at the time, and then this concept of Big Brother looking down on you from this eye in the sky. But it's all juxtaposed with this, the lyrics of the song is like this person being kind of sanctimonious about their relationship, like, I can see all this in you, like, I can see you behind you. And that was, it's just a very clever song that I think what they say is Alan Parsons himself wasn't really excited about this song and didn't want to release it, but the rest of the band was persistent and they said, let's put it out, and it became this huge hit. So I wanted to see how this song held up against other songs in our deep dive, and also to talk about this.
Well, I promised before the show started that I was going to try and cut back on just too much information overload.
Yeah.
So I'm biting my tongue in a lot of things I want to say about this because I could go off. Fair. But one of the big ones is Alan Parsons is famously the engineer for Dark Side of the Moon. So he was in the studio mixing what has become probably the most legendary studio album of all time, Dark Side of the Moon. The most successful, as far as been on the charts since the year it came out to today. People still buy that record. And it's not like a pop album. So there wasn't any single on there.
True.
This was just a complete piece. And he was responsible for putting that album and making it sound the way it did. So that gives you that was 1972 that album came out. So that gives you an idea of the mind we're working with here. And then he went on and started doing this kind of prog group. It's like prog rock, but softer and electronic and subtle. So the music wasn't heavy enough for like music that like hard people that like hard edged rock.
Yeah.
Like King Crimson and Led Zeppelin and whoever you would consider prog, even Pink Floyd, excuse me, and groups like that.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't quite as heavy. So they were like Pink Floyd light. And I think they got shifted into this category of soft rock, like you mentioned, because their music was very subtle and easy on the ears. And I think this song really is a good indicator of that because it is so soft. It's almost like somebody's like holding you in a hug and singing it in a whisper in your ear. That's how soft it is.
Right.
And all the instruments are like, they're not hitting fully. Like they're almost like playing it softly.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets lost is this masterpiece of, what is it, 4 minutes? Yeah, 4.5 minutes of just like perfect chord structures, changes, bridges, pre-chorus, post-chorus. There's so many things happening in here. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a perfect atmospheric pop song. There are several of them over the years that have become masterpieces. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, it comes to mind.
Oh,
you know, these yeah. sort of songs that are not, they're not like brash, they're not loud, but they get to the point and they hit you. And this song reaches young and old. And we also, if you remember, you chose a song by the Avalanches early on,
right?
Which essentially covered this song and made it their own. I think it was called Interstellar Love.
Huh.
And they used the music from Eye in the Sky to create their own song. And they, you know, they add their electronic flourishes behind it. But the Avalanches did a great job of sort of showing how this is like an electronic masterpiece of a song when they modernized it. I love it. What I love about this is that you even chose this song. A 1982 kind of soft rock classic, and you're picking it. That's brave to take this as the lead song. And I applaud you for it. So
thanks.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh,
so yep. This song will start. Then it's going to be my choice, which is an artist called Vilde. Isle is the song. And I think you'll like this track. I'm pretty sure you will. So let's see. It kind of modernizes our sound for the beginning of the show. Let's get going. Alan Parson Project, The Deep Dive.
Blind. Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Is it time to draw the line, following anyone else? Never know, you know what dies, pottering in the mold garden. Muddled breath and murmurless, slippery at the end. I wasn't out.
That is Vilde. Isle is the song on the deep dive. You're listening to Hi-Fi Dream. Before that was the first track on the show, which was Willis's Choice, Alan Parsons' project, doing Eye in the Sky from 1982. So we jumped ahead to 2026 for that second track. To me, they sound so perfect together, which is a real credit to Alan Parsons for creating something that is like that timeless sounding. I know many people might think like it sounds old, it sounds like yacht rock or whatever, but if you really listen to it and break it down, it's kind of a brilliant piece, much like this latest piece I played from Vilde. What did you think of the song?
I love this song. I really want to dig more into this artist because the, I mean, a couple things. Vocally, I say they're kind of similar to Alan Parsons Project because of the subdued vocals, but the harmonies or the dual layering of his vocals, and the synths, like the subdued synths and obviously more modern beats, of course. But it,
yes.
I mean, the obvious thing for me is it reminds me of one of my favorite current bands, Faded Paper Figures, which I just learned that I have one cousin-in-law, Kirsten, out in Indiana, who is now a Faded Paper Figures fan. So she might like this song as well, because I think it's right like in that same pocket and that same pitch bending and kind of also mind-bending notes that Radiohead tends to do, and especially with that alternative beat. I loved it. I loved everything about this song, and my jaw just dropped when I first heard it. And especially at about 149 minutes, they kind of saved this electro sounding 808 style cowbell that hits like dong dong dong, and it just hits perfectly. Like they waited the whole half of the song to play it, and then when they released it, it was like, ah, yes, I want to break dance right now. That's the feeling I had.
It's such a cool thing when you get that little slight thing like that that has such an impact in the song. And a lot of people might not even recognize something like that is there. Like they can't explain why they like a part of a song, and that could be the reason. It's just that right hit at the right time. You mentioned Faded Paper Figures, which is, we talked about it last week. You chose them consecutive weeks, actually.
Yeah.
I think show 100 and 102, you chose them, but you picked them several times, and it became clear like that was your band. Like that's the one that, and they're relatively new. So there's still music coming from them, even though we've talked, we won't get into their story at this time, but like they're, you know, they're not really doing music to make a living. They're doing it out of pure passion for the art. And I get this feel with this song, maybe it was subconscious that you were going to like it because there's similarities, I guess, to what I thought was Radiohead and Tom York. But you mentioned that, and I agree, Faded Paper Figures is all over that. But my last point about it before we get to the next song is that it's, I think I'm yearning for something different, but also something familiar. And how I mean that is like, I go backwards a lot to find things I've yet to discover from the past, because there's so much good music that's sort of out there that I missed. And I haven't found as much of it looking forward because of, I think music was hitting a bit of a rut. And when I hear things like this, I get excited. And you pick this next song, which, again, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, give me these groups that are trying something, pulling from different influences, maybe a more analog approach to music, a more like, you know, organic approach. And we're going to give you a bunch in this show. And I think it's awesome with this next song you did that. Set it up for us.
So I think this would fall in a category of something that sounds like other bands that I've picked on the show, like Kaleida or London Grammar. These guys are from L.A., based in L.A., called Gemini Rising. And it's from 2019, so not super new, but still kind of recent. And they've got this synth pop retro feel that I can even hear some Berlin or Eurythmics sound, female fronted, but in the lower register. So the keyboards, though, they sound so 80s. And I like that. And I think you got me onto this kick of retro, new bands doing retro sounds. And I think that is a thing for sure. So I was trying to pick a song from them, from this album of theirs, and there were so many actually on this album, called Best Case Life, that I couldn't choose. I just had to pick one. So if you like this song, if people like this song, it's called Morph, and they want to hear more, I suggest listening to the rest of the album, and digging further into their catalog. It's right up my alley, and I don't think they're like super unique, like because I have all these comparisons to new and old bands. But I like to know that there are multiple bands following a similar vein, I guess, because then there's like a movement. That's what I feel.
Yeah, there is a lot of retro inspired. I would call a lot of times called dark wave or like vapor wave and stuff like that coming out these days. And I really enjoy it, but I felt like it was getting retread too much. Like they were doing the same trickery constantly, but there's other things they could be pulling from those same bands and those same eras, but they kind of were sticking with what was working until it got tired. Which I think has happened with a bunch of current genres, you know, like, what's that one that everybody listens to? Lo-fi. Like lo-fi kind of hit a wall. It's like it only could do so much with that sound.
Right.
I felt the same thing was happening with retro-inspired synth pop, but there are so many nuggets out there that are fantastic. And I was pissed that I never heard of this group prior because I listen to this style of music all the time. I'm seeking out music constantly, and my algorithm did not direct me to this group, which is interesting because I feel like I should have. But I noticed Kate Bush, in big hot name these days, by the way, Kate Bush. A whole world came to my attention when my niece and nephew, 11 and 8 years old, were playing Running Up That Hill because of Stranger Things. And then they were listening to other songs by Kate Bush because they were like into her after hearing that song. And I was like, what is happening in this world that my niece and my nephew of that age are listening to Kate Bush? I was so absolutely charmed by that. So this reminds me of Kate Bush and a little bit of Sarah McLachlan, but the best of her, because sometimes Sarah gets, again, she gets pushed into this sort of like, I Will Remember You, which everybody was like,
the torch
song is about dying dogs. Right. Yeah. And I think that there were moments of brilliance in her career. So this reminds me of all that with all the 80s programming and whatnot. So I'm excited to play it. You ready? We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
The follow-up song, a lot of people might know, especially people over the age of 25, say. You will know the song by The that's going to follow it called This Is The Day. Or you might not know you know it. But let's get into the set. We're listening to The Deep Dive.
You can
The songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive, you heard This Is the Day from 1982, believe it or not. It felt like that was later in the 80s, but it was 82. Before that was Willis's Choice called Gemini Rising. That was the band. The song called Morph, which was from 2019, also sounded like it could have been from 1982,
true,
but it wasn't. Very modern sounding and sleek production, but very 80s, and I loved it. Not long ago, Willis, I was driving. I always drive around, do my errands. Sometimes while I'm working, I'll just like jump out of the house and go do something. And I always am listening to Hi-Fi Dream throughout the day. And in the car, I listen differently, as I've told you. And this song came on, and I've always loved it. I remember seeing it at the end of Empire Records when they're dancing on the ceiling of the roof of the Empire Records after it. Remember that?
That's right.
And I remember feeling like I missed this song. I was too young when it came out. So that was like my song. It was like our song from that Gen X era.
Right.
And it was always attached to that movie until like I now look at it as part of my own life. Like now it's been a part of my journey for 25, 30 years. And I hear the lyrics and it just touches me. It really moves me to hear lines like, you didn't wake up this morning because you didn't go to bed. You were watching the whites of your eyes turn red. I mean, that is a brilliant line about I've stayed up all night and my eyes got red because you're exhausted. Or maybe drinking or maybe whatever.
Right.
So what is your thoughts? Do you think of this song in a romantic way like I do?
You know, what's funny is I never really read or followed the lyrics, except, of course, the obvious, like, this is the day. It's such a positive message. Like, just take that line. This is the day. Like,
Your life will surely change.
Yeah, your life will surely change. Like, you can get that without having to read the lyrics. And the positivity plus the instrumentation of that. I mean, how can you not love the accordion sound? And you say, like, that's probably the only song on Hi-Fi Dream that will be have an accordion.
I think so.
Which is fair. But I do love the sound of the accordion. And it's such a happy instrument. And I think that's why it's in so many, like, the core, like, polka instrument. Because polkas are happy, you know. The happy make you want to dance. And this song's rhythm is so minimalist with that, like, just the simple, like, drum kit. Cha-cha.
Yeah, it's like a Lynn drum, but they did nothing to it. It's just straight through the whole way.
That's it. And then maybe towards the end, they hear like the clapping, like the two claps, which I always love that too. Like I want to clap along. So this is such an inspiring, positive song for anybody, no matter where you're coming from, where you're at. When you hear this song, you want to just like tap your toes and bop your head and feel good about yourself, like and optimistic, which is so like, useful, right, in your soundtrack of your life. So I'm really glad you picked this song, and of course I'm familiar with it, but not to this level of reading along the lyrics. And what really impressed me the most reading the lyrics is how smart that he sings the lyrics. Like they're clever lyrics,
I agree.
But the way he sings them, you know, I can notice when people are trying to say a message in their song and they're singing the words that is the message, but they kind of go on the beat, they kind of go with the melody. This guy on this song does not do that. He makes his own melody on top of the melody that you're hearing with the lyrics, and he stretches the lyrics in such a way that they have a character of their own. And that's
100%,
right?
What a great, great perspective to kind of gloss over something that I think I've noticed but never really mentioned about anything really musically. Because the part, I wrote it in my notes, but you think you've been reading some old letters, you smile and think how much you've changed, he says. And I relate to that because sometimes you'll look back and think about like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote this. Like I'm almost embarrassed for myself, but he says it. He's like, you smile and think how much you've changed. It's almost like he's singing that part. Like, oh, I realize I was a fool. You know, I realize how silly I was being, but there's also that line of this is the day your life will surely change. This is the day when things fall into place because I mentioned last week romanticizing your life or glamorizing your life when you drive around. And don't look at your life as boring. It should be like as cinematic and beautiful as a
star.
Movie.
Yeah, you are the star.
You are the star of it. Romanticize the hell out of it. Why not? And this song kind of does that where it's looking on his own thing and saying like he's speaking to himself and saying this is the day when things fall into place. And I think there's a positive feel to come from this. I think everybody could kind of, you know, benefit from having that look on their life of just like, it's all going to get better from here. You have to think that way.
The optimism.
So it was a really uplifting piece, I think, for this show. a rare moment where it wasn't sad.
Right. And
in my picks, at least.
Yeah, as we were playing it, you saw that I added it to my playlist called Baritone.
I laughed so loud.
It's a song now that I realize I want to sing this. I can probably try to sing this. It's in my range. But I also realized I should put it on another playlist, like optimistic playlist, because sometimes you need that boost. So this is a great song. I'm really glad you chose it, because I chose a the song a while ago, but it was called Soul Mining.
Name of this album it's on.
Right, Soul Mining. But that song is very opposite in vibe and production to this song. So I'm really glad we got to dive into this one.
So before I ended up putting on the list last weekend, I sat here on Friday night, listened to the whole album, and I remembered, like, yeah. I had this song on my list since day one, but you played that song somewhere along the way on the vinyl show, I think.
Maybe
not. When we recorded the first vinyl show, we recorded two. This was on that one show. And I didn't want to pick another the song
exactly
right away. So
I
waited,
bad.
And this was the opening. Yeah. Which I love that other song you chose. I like every song on Soul Mining in general. There's not a bad song to be found on there. Next track we're going to hit on is your track from 2025. I had not heard this, but I was really, I told you how much I'm dying for some rock and roll or like some guitar centric music. And I've been getting a little bit of it at the end of 25. Tell me about this track that you chose.
Yeah, so I use social media, unfortunately, more than I should. And I like the idea of getting new music from there, because there are occasional ads from bands trying to get exposure. I think they'll buy, like, boost, you know, hey, listen to this band. And so this one, I came across this band from a social media ad. They're called Almost There But Not Really. So they're very indie. They kind of label themselves as Latine with an E, indie from the south side of Chicago, playing sad songs with chimey guitars and ambient trails. So take that how you will, but you had me at chimey. And, you know, we tend to play like a lot of chimey guitars, but they also have this shoegazy sound, which I think where they're washing their guitars with the reverb and the chorus, not so heavy but just enough, and I liked it immediately. So I listened to their album, you know, pretty new release, and I would say that it fits our show for sure. And this song is called So Slow, from 2025, and I think that their vocals, which are very sincere and compelling, because there's no effects. Like a lot of shoegaze, you know, there's a lot of processing on the vocals, but this is like straight. So it could be a future opportunity if they wanted to really differentiate themselves. Like, hey, pick a sound, you know. But as it is, I like it. It's kind of raw and very indie sounding to me.
I like there's a bit of a Brit pop thing happening in here, which is what I heard most, more so than shoegaze, although I hear the elements you're talking about. Chicago has a burgeoning indie rock scene a lot. They've always been a hub for like great rock driven, guitar driven music, Cheap Trick, Smashing Pumpkins. You go, I mean, there's so many groups that broke out of Chicago that are, it's like hard to even imagine. But they have a great underground indie scene right now, a lot of like kind of dirty, grimy throwback stuff, and I'm really enjoying it. So I wasn't surprised to find out they were from Chicago. I can almost imagine who they're playing shows with in there, and it's probably so cool if you're a young person going to see like little bands and dive bars, because there's some great dive bars there. This reminds me a little of Fontaine's DC, who I think were probably the best guitar driven album of the last couple years. They remind me of Blur a little bit. This Brit pop kind of swagger. But the thing about Brit pop that I really loved is that it was pop music, but there was a swagger to go along with this sort of innocence, like this melancholy, even though they were a little bit arrogant on the exterior and the posterior. So, this is a great song, dude. I immediately fell for it. So, I'm very curious now. This will be the third time I'm hearing it. I think I'll even like it more this time through.
It's an interesting undertone, though, from the name of the band, Almost There But Not Really. It's kind of like emo, you know, of a name. Like, well, we're just kind of small. We just you know, we're not that really there. We're almost there. So you don't but feel really. Like they're going to represent themselves largely, right? So I like that underdog feel that they're coming in as, at least from their name.
Based on the name, I would think they sound like Explosions in the Sky, like epic instrumental kind of guitar music, like, you know, really builds and builds and builds to an explosion, but there's like no vocals. That's what because there's this, I don't know what it is about the long Almost There But Not Really that's not direct enough to tell me what they are. But yeah, this is great. It's called So Slow. It just came out last year. I'm not sure where in the year it came out, but it just came out. And then it's going to be this really interesting song, which I don't really have a reference for. Like, I can't really say they sounds anything like Almost There, but not really. But something I heard in that track made me think of Lansing Dryden. I'll talk about them and I'll let you elaborate on your feelings about this group. They're kind of like a weird artsy group that not many people know much about, but we'll talk about it when we're back. You ready to play the track?
Okay.
All right, let's roll. The deep dive continues.
Do you trust me?
Trust me.